James chapter number 1, I'm going to end up reading the whole chapter, but this morning for our text, I want to look at verse number 25. James chapter 1, verse number 25, and says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. I want to read that one more time here. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen. You can be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of our text this morning. I want to title this message this morning. I've been trying to preach this for two services. Now this third service, I think it's going to happen. Amen. Life in liberty. Life in liberty. Amen. Liberty. What does liberty mean? Another word for liberty is freedom. Freedom. What's one of the first things that pops in your mind when you think of liberty? It's a Statue of Liberty standing in the harbor there in the New York City area. A sign, a symbol, now a national monument for all of Americans to look to, and not just Americans, but really people of all countries look to America for liberty, for freedom. Well, James is giving us insight in our Christian liberty, our Christian freedom. What God has done for you and I, and what His purpose for your life and my life is, it's a life of perfect liberty. Now, freedom can be used in different directions, but the freedom I'm after is freedom from sin, and freedom from sin produces a life of righteousness. That's the liberty God's after. That's the liberty I'm after here this morning. Now, as we read the book of James, and we start in chapter 1, and I want to start reading this, and I want to read this because I want to give us an understanding of what Christ came to bring us liberty from. Amen. Hallelujah. And James, the servant of God, this is chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work," there's that word again, perfect, "perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." James just told us something about mankind. Doesn't make any difference what your pedigree. There we go. Doesn't make any difference where you come from, what you've been through, where you're at right now. Man is man. And man has come into this world and his days are but few, as a vapor, and then they pass away. And so what he's trying to bring across here in these statements is the reality that we have all been created by God, and we all need salvation. And we all need that relationship with God. And now back in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. This is where the temptation comes from. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means he's not going to change at any given whim. He is stable. Hallelujah. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso, and here's our text this morning, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. The end of chapter 1. Liberty. Life in liberty. Amen. Notice, James in verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, in other words, after everything we've just read up to verse 19, the reality that there's nothing in this world that is going to help me in my relationship with God. But yet God has provided a way of this relationship. Amen. And bringing that reality then, he says, let us. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let us. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I want us to understand here this morning, wrath, the wrath of man. Stop and think about it for a minute. What brings you to a point of anger? Do you get angry because someone else is treated wrong? Or do you get angry because you're the one being treated wrong? Anger is usually wrapped around some type of self-motivation. Either it ain't going your way, or someone has done you wrong, or something's happened that you don't like. In other words, it's all dealing with something you don't like. You don't want it that way. Basically, it's that I syndrome, that self syndrome. And this is why the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Because when I'm the center of my world, then things are not going to go very well for me. But when Jesus Christ becomes the center of my world, and I take the focus off myself, and I get the focus upon him, this is going to produce a change in my life. This is going to produce liberty in my life. This is going to produce the power, the ability. And when I say these two words, it all still depends on my choice, an act of my will, of whether I'm going to have what God has for me. Amen. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness. What's it mean to lay apart? To lay something apart. To put it aside. Put it somewhere. Put it in a box and close the lid. Amen. Put it somewhere. Lay aside filthiness. Now that's not talking about dirty clothes. That's not talking about dirty feet. That's not what it's talking about. It is talking about corruption of my life, pollution of my life, defilement by sin in my life, impurity, obscenity, pornography, indecency, vulgarity, coarseness, dirty books, filthiness. Now, I want you to understand, because when we're going to get down here, when we got down to that last verse, it said, unspotted from this world. This is what I've got to leave behind. This is what I've got to stay unspotted from. So a lot of times we think unspotted from the world, and our mind goes to anything and everything somebody has told us that is of the world and we got to stay away from. What God's after is unspotted from the world is going to start way down deep within, down in the heart. Hallelujah. And it's going to work its way out into my everyday living and my normal life. But unspotted from the world is unspotted from filthiness. Unspotted from the corruption of this world, the pollution of this world, the sin of this world, the impurity. I read you the list. That's what it is to be unspotted from the world. These are the things that will bring me into a place of jeopardy in my relationship with God. You see, we understand, we preach, and we teach, because it is God's word. God will never leave us nor forsake us. But when we allow these things to come into our hearts and into our minds and into our lives, then it's going to bring a separation between God and ourselves in our relationship, not in the fact that God's going to be there trying to bring me out of this, moving upon me to bring me out of it. But if I won't come out, then I'm jeopardizing my salvation. We've got to understand the mercy of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God. God continually not leaving us nor forsaking us, but God never has anywhere in His Word condoned evil doing, wrongdoing. God's never condoned filthiness at all. And so we've got to realize, even though God may be right there, He doesn't want filthiness there. And He's right there so I can come out of that. Woo, hallelujah. In a life in liberty. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom. Hallelujah. And lay apart superfluity of naughtiness. Now these are words that we really don't use in our language today, but yet it doesn't take much to go find a definition of what it means. Superfluity. Has anybody ever overfilled your oil in your vehicle? It can cause problems. It can. Just had a lawnmower that got overfilled with oil. And those that create these motors realize sometimes we make mistakes. And a Briggs & Stratton lawnmower engine has a little tube that runs from the crankcase out to the air filter. And if by chance you overfill that with oil, you know where the oil is going to go? It's going to go right out that tube, right into that air filter area, and it's going to saturate that air filter with oil, and sooner or later, it don't run, because it won't suck air through that oil into the engine, and and you take out that air filter, put in a new air filter, and she's, yeah, see, there's things that stop up flow. Woo! Amen. And what we're after is a life in liberty. We're after a flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. And these are things that if we allow them, see, it's a matter of allowing. It's not they're just going to power themselves in there. No, no, no. We allow them to come into our lives. And because once we're washed, once we're cleansed, we've been set at liberty by Christ Jesus. Praise be to our God. But if we don't lay apart, if we don't separate, if we don't get rid of these things, hallelujah, then they're going to stop the flow of what God's wanting to do in my life and in yours, because not a one of us are exempt from the temptation and the trials of the world. Amen. Count it not strange. That's how this chapter started out. of the temptations, of fiery trials, of those things that are going to come against you. You see, just because Jesus Christ has cleansed us and he's created a new creature in us, he has not obliterated the old man. Not yet. That's coming. I'm glad when that rapture takes place, that old man's going to be left behind. Woo, we'll never have to deal with him again. But right now, you and I are going to deal with the old man every day. Every day of our lives, we're going to deal with that old man. And the way we deal with it, hallelujah, is realizing that I can walk in liberty. I can have a life of liberty in Jesus Christ where I can walk in the new man. And that newness of life, amen, when I will cling to God's word as the Spirit of God brings it to my attention. Woo, praise God. See, this is the glorious thing about God's Christianity and God's salvation, is he will always be there to point me in the right direction. He will always be there to show me his word, to show me his ways, and say, this is the way I want you to walk. Walk therein. Hallelujah. And then you will be blessed in your way. That's his promise. We just read it right here in James chapter number 1. And so we see then that life and liberty then hinges on me realizing I'm going to have to lay apart some things. I'm going to have to get some things gone. And a lot of people think, well, I just can't get that gone. Oh my, it's amazing what we can do when we set our mind to it. Amen. Superfluity, that's where I'm at. It's unnecessary. Superfluity means unnecessary naughtiness. Naughtiness, simply put, is bad behavior, misbehavior, mischief, disobedience, waywardness, defiance, lack of discipline, indecency, obscenity, vulgarity, coarseness, lewdness. In other words, unnecessary bad behavior. Stop and think about it sometimes when we do some of the things we do. Did we really have to do that? Or did we just choose to do that? I can remember long years ago. Oh my. When Jason was but a young teenager. Teenagers, they're funny creatures. Amen. Believe it or not, I was a teenager once. I was a funny creature. Why? Because that teenage years, that those are the years when young men, young ladies are coming into adulthood. They're coming to the knowledge of a host of anything and everything that's in this world. And they start forming their own opinions and thinking they can do their own thing. And realizing in reality they can, but there's always repercussions to it. But anyway, to make this long story short, it was winter time, and we had four-wheelers, and Jason's out there riding the four-wheeler, and you know, I gave him a little instruction. I said, you know, there's snow's deep over there, and your four-wheeler probably gets stuck there. See, that even complicates it when you've already been told not to go there. And then I look out, and there he is. In that spot, I told him not to go because he was going to get stuck, and he was stuck. Stuck in the snow. Oh, and see, that's what complicated it. Because the minute he got stuck, he knew exactly he was where he was told he shouldn't go. And then, with all of his great effort as a young teenager, he couldn't get that four-wheeler out of that snowdrift. And he doesn't know I'm seeing this all happen out the window. And so I just get my clothes on and I start walking out that way. Well, while I'm walking out that way, I hear him ranting and raving. And all of a sudden, a curse word comes out of his mouth. Where in the world did he learn that? Because I didn't do that anymore. That was one of the first things that went when I got saved. I never said another curse word again. Coarseness. Rudeness. Moms and dads, hang on with me. But if you growl at your kids, you raise your voice, get there, I said. That's coarseness. That ain't meekness. That's coarseness. That needs to be laid apart. Well, they won't move unless I get that way. Then you need to follow the Bible's rule. It's called a rod of discipline. If they don't move, you don't raise your voice. You raise your rod of discipline. Amen. You calmly, collectively march them to your place of discipline. You calmly, collectively point out their disobedience and give them correction for it. The reason we'd rather just raise our voice and make a move, because it takes a whole lot more effort and inconvenience to do what we're supposed to do. Called the rod of correction. Now, you got to realize I am talking from experience, because that's how I used to deal with things before I got saved. Amen. But when Jesus Christ came in, I realized there is a right way to do everything. And I set out to learn the right way for everything. Amen. And I am still in pursuit of that. And so, in other words, unnecessary behavior, bad behavior, a lack of discipline. You know, the greatest way to discipline our children is to discipline ourselves. And when we're disciplined ourselves, then we'll be able to discipline our children so they can have discipline in their lives too. Amen. Discipline is not something that we can make someone have. It's something we can show people how to be. Whew, praise God. See, this is the life and liberty that I'm talking about here this morning. This is that liberty that Christ wants to bring into our lives. We don't have to be that way. Oh, the most famous words that have been stated in the midst of turmoil is, "That's just the way I am." Once again, there's coarseness. Woo! And, okay, if that's the way you are, change it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, that's Christ. That's what Christ is saying. I know that's the way you are, because I know the beginning and the end. And I know you're that way, and you know you're that way. And so now, change it. Amen. Praise God. So now that we've got that settled, it's done. We're walking in liberty. Woo! Praise God. Oh, but Brother Pepper, that's so hard to do. You're telling me. But since when did hard work hurt anybody? Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. See, we've got Christianity has been moved to such a mamby-pamby type of message anymore. Christianity was never mamby-pamby. Christianity was birthed in death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they embraced that death, that burial, that resurrection, amen, praise our God. And then on the day of Pentecost, they were empowered by the Spirit of God to walk in liberty. Liberty, amen. A newness of life that mankind could never have before that day. Amen. That liberty in Jesus Christ. Walking with the King. Hallelujah. Now, let's move on. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. We can't walk out of here this morning and say, Brother Pepper, that was a great message, and not do it. That's what James is. He's a preacher now. I mean, you read the book of James, and book of James covers about anything and everything you're going to face in your lifetime. Hallelujah. And he tells you just how it is and what God expects to do in our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deception. A lot of times we'll never tell a lie to anybody else, but we'll always deceive our own selves. We won't call our lifestyle or our actions or our deeds what they really are. We just want to think, if it's happening in us, it's not that bad. But you know what I've always found this. I've experienced it. I've even done it. Those areas that I know are wrong in me, and I see somebody else do them, I mean, I'm ready to drop the hammer on them. Because that's wrong. Woo. Oh, this is the way mankind is. They're always ready to drop the hammer on everybody else. I mean, you know, the Bible over in the book of Jeremiah says, my word's like a hammer that breaketh the rock. No, we like to wield the hammer, hallelujah, on everybody else's life. But it's time to chisel on your own. It's time to beat on your own. There's a scripture in the Bible that Paul's talking about, you know, when we've done all we're supposed to do, we need to be ready to revenge ourselves against sin. Yeah. That means stay serious about keeping sin out of our lives. And if we see it creeping in our lives, go ahead and pop yourself. Don't get mad at somebody else for what they're doing. Get mad at yourself for what you're still doing. You know, and if you keep the focus on yourself in this sense, because what it amounts to is you're keeping your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And while you're looking to Jesus Christ, He's looking at you and showing you who you really are. This is that perfect law of liberty. This is when, you know, the natural man, you look in the mirror. How many got up this morning and looked in the mirror? Anybody this morning get ready without looking in a mirror? Isaac, did you look in the mirror this morning? Oh, okay. Whew. I was worried there for a moment. So you did fix your hair like that then, huh? I'm just teasing you, buddy. Oh, I love to tease with kids. Praise God. Amen. I used to be one. Maybe I still am. But we'll move on with this message this morning. Amen. So we looked in the mirror this morning, and we looked in the mirror to see what we looked like when we got up. Now, this is funny, and this will go beyond the heads of many here. Anybody know who Phyllis Diller is? I can tell by the smiles that some do, and most of them are going to be my age and maybe a little bit younger than my age. But all these young kids and these teenagers, they have no idea who that lady is. But she was a lady that any time you did see her, that her hair was just... Sister Pepper got up this morning and said, look at me, I look like Phyllis Diller. You know what that let me know? She looked in the mirror. Yeah, she did. Woo! Oh, my. I'd hate to tell you what I look like when I look in the mirror in the morning. You wouldn't want to see it. Amen. But see, the mirror reveals things, doesn't it? Amen. And so James is saying, you know, when we don't do the Word of God, we're like the man or the woman that goes looks in the mirror and says, oh my, I look like Phyllis Diller today, and turn around and walk on. So, big deal. Everybody's going to have to see Phyllis Diller today. That's just who I am. Whoa. Forget what manner you forget. We forget what we saw in the mirror, and we don't do anything about it. How many does that? How many went to the mirror and looked in the mirror, and all of a sudden you saw something in your teeth? Oh, Sister Pepper's a dental hygienist, and you know she sees something in your teeth. She's going to tell you about it. But what do you do if you see it yourself? Do you look at it and say, oh, well, that's a good speck in my tooth. That'd be good for everybody else to see. You immediately either grab the toothbrush or a toothpick or your fingernail or whatever you use to clean your teeth. If you need to know what you need to clean your teeth with, Sister Pepper can give you a whole list of things you're supposed to clean your teeth with. You know, it ain't pliers, it ain't screwdrivers, and forks work, but, you know, I mean, you know. No. Woo, praise God. But no, if you see it there, you're going to take it out. You're going to remove it. See, that's what Christ is wanting us to do with His Word. When we're reading His Word, hallelujah, when His Word is being preached, when His Word is being taught, and then that perfect law of liberty, that reflection of Jesus Christ comes and shows me what's in my life and what's there. See, He doesn't come to bring condemnation. See, He doesn't come to bring condemnation. He comes to bring liberty. Woo, freedom. Hallelujah. He comes to bring transformation. He comes to bring newness of life. He doesn't come in a condescending, condemning way. He comes in a lightning way to show us there's a better way. Hallelujah. There's a way of peace. There's a way of power. There's a way of joy. There's a way that you can walk with me that you don't have to remain in that bondage of sin, in that bondage of self. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So we don't want to look in the mirror and see a problem and not fix it. We don't want to be in the house of God and be touched by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and know that there's a problem and not fix it. Amen. He wants us to fix it. He wants us to lay it apart. Amen. Hallelujah. This is that love that I have for him. In verse number 25, once again, our text this morning, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. The blessings of the Lord rest upon the righteous. The blessings of the Lord rest upon that believer in Jesus Christ, that one that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if we've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, then that's the first thing that Jesus Christ is going to reveal to us. Hallelujah. And sometimes we're slow. I was slow. You know, I just didn't want to confess my sin. I didn't want to admit I had sin. I didn't want to admit that I didn't really have true salvation. Even though I was raised in church all my life, I did not want to admit that I needed Jesus Christ in a fullness and a greater way in my life. I wanted to cling to my self-righteousness. I wanted to cling to my own religious pedigree and religious heritage that had just been handed down to me by going to church. But as Sister Lindsay testified already, that we have to experience Jesus Christ for ourselves. Just because she was raised in a pastor's home, just because she's been in church all of her life, that's not what brought salvation to her in that sense, although that was a great benefit to bring her face to face with Jesus Christ. See, I'm thankful for my Christian heritage, but particular Christian heritage I had would not bring me into the fullness of Christ, but it let me know Christ was real. And then I found the fullness of Christ and the washing of the blood and the forgiveness of sins and the newness of life that came in. And I found that liberty that was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. When he came in, washed away that old sin, that past sin, created that newness of life in me, I saw my life literally go before my eyes. I saw my past sins, all my past deeds. You couldn't name them all. But then I saw him in his fullness and who he is, and I couldn't help but weep. I began to weep because of my sin to start with, and then I began to weep because of rejoicing in my soul of what he just brought me into. Woo, hallelujah. He brought me into a liberty that I had never known. Hallelujah. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Picture yourself here. Not necessarily that this is the way you are, but I mean, just put yourself in this place. When someone confronts you about sin, what do you do? Do you begin to try to convince them how that it's not there? Do you try to justify it? See, this is what he's talking about, bridling the tongue. The thing is when you're really desirous to know what Christ wants in your life, and he brings sin, which is disobedience. Sometimes it can be gross sin. Sometimes it just be small sins if we can categorize them. But whatever it is, he will illuminate it. Do you immediately begin to argue with God? A lot of folks want to argue with the pastor. I'm going, don't argue with me. Take it up with him. I'm just sharing his word. I'm just sharing his truth. If you got an argument, talk to him. Talk to God about it. We'll see who wins. Amen. Because you can justify yourself to me, convince me. Even many times there's nothing there. But if he keeps bringing it to your attention, he's the one you need to be talking to. You may deceive me. You may put on face. Have it well hid. But all things are seen by him. And if it keeps coming back to you, then that's him talking to you. Not the pastor. Not the teacher. That's God talking to you. Talking to you. revealing things to you to bring you into that liberty that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we see then we cannot justify any wrongdoing. We have to bridle our tongue, not try to wrestle with God or argue with God, but realize God already knows. And God in His grace and His mercy is bringing it to my knowledge so that I can walk in that liberty. I can walk in that newness of life. I can walk in that joy. I can walk in that peace. I can walk in that power. Amen. For he closes in, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, benevolence, kindness, loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And keeping myself unspotted from the world is loving the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. The first and greatest commandment spoken by Jesus. Loving my neighbor as myself, that's the second greatest commandment that Jesus said. And it's amazing to me that James writes them right here. Amen. To let me know they're important. It's important how I live my life. Not that I've met Jesus, that's important too, but is he making the change in my life that he wants to make? Amen. That's it being seen. How many have heard the little saying, actions speak louder than words? Amen. Hallelujah. And see, that's what James is writing about. That's what God is trying to convey to you and I this morning, that that perfect law of liberty is when God comes and his grace reveals truth to me, that I walk therein, that I lay apart that what is wrong and I take up that what is right. Hallelujah. Laying it aside, put it in the box, close the lid and pick up what's right and walk in that. Hallelujah. That is walking in liberty that has been provided, and it wasn't free. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We've got to understand, church, when we come to Christ and Christ comes to us and we draw nigh to God and God draws nigh to us and he begins to reveal to us and illuminate us from his word and showing us the right way in an area of our lives and we pick it up and we begin to walk with it, we got to keep walking or we will become entangled in it again. So I've got to learn how to walk in liberty. I've got to learn how to live in liberty. Amen. I've got to keep myself in a mind frame. And this is where I want you to kind of get your mind frame. Does anybody in here know who Patrick Henry is? Patrick Henry was one of the forefathers of this nation. He is known for this statement right here. I know not what others may choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Does that sound like anything you might have heard anywhere in the Bible? Joshua maybe? Chapter 24? Round verse 15? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. A man of action. A woman of action. A creature of choice. Choosing. I will serve the Lord. Patrick Henry stood up in the midst of all his peers and those that were deliberating and wondering, should we go to war? Is freedom really going to be worth it? And that's when he stood up and said, give me liberty or give me
death. It's worth it, hallelujah, to walk in God's liberty. It's worth the death to self, to walk in God's liberty. It's worth the death to self, to have that peace, that joy, that kindness, that love, that blessing of the Lord upon my deeds. Hallelujah. Yes, give me liberty, and I want death to self. Hallelujah. Woo, praise be to God. He made this statement also. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. Woo. You know the times of past failure. So then you know the way to change the future is dealing with that and choose, woo, death to self and life to Christ. That's going to change your future. You see, I know what's been in the past, but the only way the future is going to change is if I make a decision today. Wow. And that decision today is what will change my destiny for tomorrow. Woo, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. He also said this. And of course, this was many of the arguments when they were trying to persuade the country to go on to war for the freedom from England. And he said, if this be treason, then make the most of it. He was a man of action, wasn't he? Wow. Hallelujah. Can I change it around a little bit? If this be righteousness, then make the most of it. Woo, hallelujah. If this be the way God wants it to be, then I'm going to make the most of it, and I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to do it even greater than he asked me to do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's one of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. If someone compels you to go a mile, go 2 miles. Hallelujah. What is that? That's a man and woman of action. That's a man and a woman walking and living a life in liberty in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not looking for as little as I can get by with, but I am looking for everything that I can do for the King that died for me. Hallelujah. And that is the life and liberty that Christ has brought to you and I. Hallelujah. Glory. Romans 6 and 18. And I'm pressing towards a closing here this morning. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. This be righteousness. Make the most of it. This be the way, then make the most of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, the Statue of Liberty, that's the title we know it as today. But when it was given to the United States, and it was recognized then as a universal symbol of freedom and democracy, and it was dedicated in October the 28th in 1886, became that national monument in 1924. But the original name was the Statue of Liberty Enlightening the World. You see, it was given by France to America. And France was wanting all the world to know what America had done to bring freedom into this world. Are you that one standing fast? Because if you stop, think about that. Statue of Liberty stands there, standing fast as that sign and symbol of freedom and liberty to enlighten the world that this is the way that you should go. Wow. Are you that man? Are you that woman that's standing fast in that liberty that Christ has given you so that you can enlighten the world that this is the right way to go? Woo, hallelujah. You see, this is why it is so important for you and I to realize it must be a life in liberty
continually. Not just when I first met Jesus. No, it's got to be a life of liberty right now. That Jesus Christ has to be ruling and reigning more now than he did then. Amen. Hallelujah. So that you can stand fast. Amen. Psalms 119:45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Amen. The perfect law of liberty. God's word. This is the way I need to go. This is the way I need to walk. This is the way I need to live. Amen. A lot of people don't mind grabbing a hold of the promises that bring something to me. But they don't want to lay hold of the promises of when I lay something apart. Wow. That will bring the blessing of God. You got all kinds of preachers trying to get you a blessing from God, and they're going about it all the wrong way. They're trying to steal from God. Mm-hmm. Won't go there, but they're trying to steal. Yeah, steal from God. They're wanting you to do something for them so you can get something from God. It don't work that way. You need to do something for God. Amen. You need to lay apart filthiness. You need to lay apart over unnecessary bad behavior so that he can then bless you in all your ways. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, I don't have time this morning to go and deal with all that, but let me know. I want you to know that the way God blesses sometimes is not financially to start with. He blesses by giving me wisdom to make right decisions. And the more I make right decisions, if any man lack wisdom, who do you ask? Wow. Have you made some dumb decisions lately? Wrong decisions lately? Then you need to ask God for wisdom and he'll bring it to you. But make sure when he brings it to you that you do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he'll show you the right way to do it. And when you will do it, then he will bring the blessings into your ways. I've told my kids all through their lives, I said, good things come to those who wait on God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The whole vision of Calvary Light Ministries, Calvary Light House Church, began 16 years ago. Today is the anniversary of our 16th year, second Sunday in August. We've been here for 16 years in this building. For 14 years, our vision was a larger building, more room to do more things for God. Now that's happening. I didn't try to make it happen. It just started happening. Because God knew that it was our desire to work for him, to lift him up, to be a light to shine into this world. And we started right here. But we knew this was not where we were going to end up. This is not going to be all we were ever going to have, because there ain't near enough room here to do everything that our hearts desire to do for God and to reach more people for the kingdom. Hallelujah. And we knew one day we were either going to build a building out here or something was going to change. And all of a sudden, one Sunday morning in the midst of worship service, standing right over there where I always stand, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And he said, it's time. Well, I didn't run out and get alone and try to build a new building. I began to seek the Lord and say, Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me how this needs to happen. Because I know you're saying it's time. I just want to make sure. I want that wisdom from above. I don't want to just run out here and say, God told me to do this, and then start trying to do it all by myself and all the way I want it done. No, I waited on God. 2 years later, we have the building God was preparing. And it's happening. We've got lumber companies donating lumber, electrical companies donating electrical supplies. It just makes my head spin. How God is just now blessing
what we're doing, and he is showing it openly. Hallelujah. Because we said yes 16 years ago. We were ready to die 16 years ago. I'm still ready to die today. I'm still ready to live a life in liberty, and I'm ready to die today. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means I don't want my will. I want, oh, hallelujah, I want what he wants done. And I want to work the works that he's called me to do, and I want to preach his word where men and women can be set free and learn about the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I want to know what you have to say, God, about my life, about my decisions, about where you want me and where you want me to go, what you want me to do. God, I want you to bring that wisdom from above. If you're a child of God, you will certainly encounter adversities. But Jesus says you should not be surprised when they come. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is saying there is nothing for you to fear. The same people who refused to talk about their adversities before they were saved often complain and worry after being born again because they have the wrong idea of what it means to live the life of a saint. God does not give us an over, listen to this. God does not give us overcoming life. At first, you might think, well, that's a little contrary, isn't it? You know, we're to be overcomers. Think about what you just said. God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. Whoa. That stops a lot of things dead in its tracks because we're waiting on God to change us, and that ain't going to happen. When God changes us, it's going to be because we choose to change. And then he'll give us that overcoming power. You always have to make the choice first. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? My opinion, the chicken did, because God created everything from the dust of this earth. That doesn't make any difference. What come first in your salvation? Jesus saving you and then you deciding you wanted it? Or you deciding you wanted it and Jesus brought it to you? You see, it always comes to us first. And when we choose, then he's right there to empower it. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We got to realize he doesn't give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. That life of liberty. As he illuminates, we lay apart, and the power of God's there, letting us know we made the right decision, we made the right choice, and we're not going to go there again. We're going to walk in liberty. Hallelujah. Because we know where the help came from, but we also know it was because I chose him. The strain of life is what builds our strength. If there is no strain, there will be no strength. Wow. No pain, no gain, huh? Hallelujah. Are you asking God to give you life, liberty, and joy? Well, he cannot unless you're willing to accept the strain. And once you face the strain, you will immediately get the strength. Overcome your own timidity. Take the first step. Then God will give you nourishment. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. If you completely give yourself physically, you become exhausted. But when you give yourself spiritually, you get more strength. God never gives us strength for tomorrow or for the next hour, but only for the strain of the moment. Our temptation is to face adversities from the standpoint of our own common sense, but a saint can be of good cheer when seemingly defeated by adversities,
Because victory is absurdly impossible to everyone except God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Does anyone remember the victories that Joshua did continually? Even when the Lord came, stood afar off from him, he saw a man with a sword drawn, and he immediately went to him. And he said, are you for us or are you against us? There was no fear there. Whoever it was, whatever it was, he was ready to face it. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. And so he immediately humbled himself and bowed before the commander. But if it would have been an enemy, he would have been ready to fight. He would have been ready to take him out. Wow. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. I'm going down, but I'm going down fighting. Glorious thing about a child of God is when you choose, and you choose Christ, you won't go down. You'll go up, and you'll be victorious. But it's got to be at that moment of choice. That's when the victory comes. You see, our human nature wants victory without choice. Our human nature wants an easier way. Our human nature doesn't want to strain. Have you ever come to something? These young boys probably have done this. And at first you couldn't pick it up because you thought it was too heavy. And then you just stepped back and looked at it, and you didn't want to be defeated. So you begin to think about it, and you figured out a way, a technique. And you picked it up anyway. Whether you realize it or not, but in weightlifting, there's technique, and then there's brute strength. I don't know if you've ever watched those guys that pick it up and put it here and then put it up here. See, you don't do it like that. Because most of the time you won't be able to lift near as much. But if you learn how to use technique, jerk it up, and then you don't push it up, you throw it up and get under it. How many's ever heard this terminology? If there's a will, there's a way. Anybody know where that came from? I don't know the exact extent from it, but I know it comes from right here. You can be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. If there's a will, there's a way. Stand with me if you would. A life in liberty.